So in honor of Chag HaShavuos, which is fast and arriving, and I started on Sunday my preparation for Chag HaShavuos. There's a Chassam Sofer, and in fact there are two Chassam Sofers that we can integrate together, and they both appear on these pages that I gave you. And in order to appreciate the Chassam Sofer, we're going to ask three questions, all of which are related to Chag HaShavuos. The first question is, we find in the Gemara in Shabbos, the famous Agadah of Matan Torah, that it says, Tachtis Ahar, Chazal say, Kofaleim, Har Kigigis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised up the mountain, placed it over them until they received the Torah. And the question that Tosfos raises is, what was the need to force them and compel them to accept the Torah? They already said, Nasa V'Nishma. And in order to answer this question, Tosfos quotes a Tanchuma in Parshas Noach. He says, "V'im tomar al Torah shebichsav kof aleim har kigigis, if you'll tell me for the written Torah, Hashem had to compel them with the har. After all, they recited, they declared Nasa V'Nishma. But the answer is, that's only as far as Torah shebichsav. Then they were willing to accept the Torah. Because ein bo yigia v'tzar, the Torah shebichsav is basic principles, and you could live up to those principles, and you don't have to work very hard and suffer anguish and sleepless nights in order to try to rack your brains to figure out what's going on. But rather, when it came to Torah shebal peh, which have dikduke mitzvahs and tremendous details and nuances and demands upon a person, there are kalos and there are chamuras, all of a sudden the Torah gets divided up into different parts. And to study the Torah Shebal Peh, it's aza, kamavis, it's like, you know, hard and tough. And therefore, a person would not really learn the Torah Shebal Peh and dedicate himself properly to Torah Shebal Peh unless he really had a tremendous love for HaKadosh Baruch b'chol libo, b'nafsho, b'ma'odo. And based on this description of the Tanchuma, differentiating and contrasting between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, Tosfos establishes that with regard to Torah Shebichsav, there was no need to compel them. They were more than happy to recite and declare Masa V'Nishma, but Torah Shebal Peh, that's a whole other story. That's demanding both in terms of its requirements and obligations, and in terms of the way and the method by which we can achieve an understanding of the Torah Shebal Peh. But we still have to understand on a deeper level, what is this Kof Aleim Har Kigigis? What is this mountain over their head? You know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to compel the people of Israel to accept even Torah Shebal Peh, why was it necessary, that particular method? Maybe there could have been another way that he could compel them. Why did he carry the har, lift the har and hang it over their head? Maybe we could find a deeper meaning in this Kof Aleim Har Kigigis.
Sure.
The second question we want to ask is based on the Medrash Rabban Shmos, that when Moshe went up to receive the Torah, then at that point, the Malachi Ashares wanted to attack Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, they wanted the Torah for themselves. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in order to protect Moshe Rabbeinu, is that he changed the face, the physiognomy, the countenance of Moshe Rabbeinu to look like that of Avram Avinu. Excuse me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Malachim and he says, "You're not embarrassed in front of this person? After all, this was the person, you went down to him and you ate in his house." So let's ask two questions. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Malachim knew this, was sent as a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to receive the Torah. How could they be pogea? How could they want to attack Moshe Rabbeinu? What chutzpah on the part of the Malachi Ashores to be pogea in the shliach haneman of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And secondly, what is this business? Iatem mizbayishim, amen. Okay, so they ate a meal at Avraham Avinu's table way back when. But they are claiming they want the Torah for themselves. Do they have to give up that desire, that craving for the Torah just because they ate one meal at the table of Avraham Avinu? And the third question is that with regard to Chag HaShavuos, we find one aspect of the holiday of Shavuos which is very profound, a very high profile. And in a sense, it defines almost the unique nature of this Chag. And that is the Shteil Lechem. The Torah says in Parshas Emor, Usfartem Lachem Imachas HaShavuos, you count 7 weeks and 50 days, and then on the 50th day, Vekravtem Mincha Chadosh Al Hashem. They have to bring a new karma mincha, and Mimoshvosechem Tavi Lechem Tnufa Shtayim. They have to bring this karma mincha, which is comprised of two lechamim, two loaves of bread. And it's so significant that, number one, the Torah elsewhere calls the Chag of Shavuos Chag HaBikurim. And Rashi says, why is this Chag called Chag HaBikurim? It's because of the Shteil Lechem. The Shteil Lechem is called Bikurim. And moreover, our minhag to eat milchiks on Shavuos, the Ramah claims that that's in order to have a zecher, to remind ourselves of the Shteil Lechem of Chag HaShavuos, which we no longer have as long as we don't have the Mikdash. And the Ramah writes in Siman Tov Tzadi Dalid that once you have milchiks, you're going to go ahead afterwards and eat fleishiks, you're going to need two loaves of bread. One loaf for the milchik meal, and the other loaf for the fleishik meal. And that's going to accomplish a shulchan, a table, which is in the place, or if you would say it replaces the Mizbeach, where they brought two lechems on the Chag of Shavuos. But let's understand, what is the great significance of the Shteil Lechem? First of all, why couldn't one lechem be enough? Yeah. And second of all, we know the Chag HaShavuos is called Zman Matan Torah Seinu. It would be more comfortable and more attractive if we understood what's the connection between the Shteil Lechem and Matan Torah. And ostensibly, there doesn't seem to be any connection. Although it's true that the Zohar says that the Shtei Lechamim, one corresponds to Torah Shebichsav, and the other to Torah Shebalpeh. So that already gives us some connection, at least minimally, between Shtei Lechem and Kabbalah Satorah. But on a deeper level, maybe we could reveal something else. So let's just review three problems that bother our mind. Number one, Chag HaShavuos as Chag Matan Torah Seinu brings us back to the statement in Chazal of Kof Aleim Har Kegigis. They were compelled to accept the Torah, which Tosfos identifies with Torah Shebal Peh, which is very difficult. And we wonder why this method of Kof Aleim Har Kegigis was the method, the only method, the chosen method of God to force, so to speak, to compel Bnei Yisrael to accept Torah Shebal Peh. Second question, according to the Medrash, when Moshe was threatened by the Malachim because he came to get the Torah, Hashem had to convert his face into that of Avraham Avinu and say to the Malachim, aren't you embarrassed? Didn't you eat a meal in his table? And what was the Hava meaning that the Malachim could be Pogea in Moshe Rabbeinu? He was the Shliach, he was sent up the mountain by Hashem. And secondly, why would the Busha, over the fact that they ate a meal in his house, why would that give them reason to back off of their claim, their desire to get the Torah? And the third question is, what's the significance of Shteil Lechem? And we know that Shteil Lechem is very significant. It's the name of the Chag, and yet, ostensibly, it doesn't seem to have any connection to Matan Torah, other than the somewhat, shall we say, superficial connection that one Lechem corresponds to Torah Shebichsav and the other Torah Shebal Peh and the Zohar. So in order to begin to understand and put together these answers to these three questions with one yisod, we're going to study the Chasam Sofer.
May I ask a question on the first of the three questions here?
Sure.
If we're going to learn that Nasa Ben Ishmael goes on, we're willing to take on the written Torah, how could the Jewish people at that time take on the written Torah without any oral Torah? Let's say, for example, the mitzvah to not steal. How do you know what that means if you don't have an oral Torah, which goes into stealing in great detail?
Right, I guess what's going to happen is, you know, I'm okay with accepting do not steal. You know, many legal systems in the world, lahavdil, accept and codify in their law books, thou shalt not steal. In fact, it was a great philosopher, a German philosopher by the name of Immanuel Kant, and he claimed that the only moral rule that's logically imperative is either do not murder, do not steal. So that's But we're going to take it on a very simple level, straightforward. Don't steal, whatever that means. Don't dig your hand into someone else's pocket and steal his wallet. But all the many myriads of details and the nuances of interpretations and the expansion of this Avera to include so many different parts and dimensions, that we're not willing to accept. We'll survive the Torah, but only the Torah Shebichtav. We're going to begin with the Chasam Sofer in his Drushos, Chelik Beis, and he wants to understand what went on back at the time of the visit of the angels at the table of Avram and Sarah. There's something strange when you read the Psukim, especially the way Chazal understand them, to try to figure out, was there some sort of debate, some sort of difference of opinion between Avram and Sarah as to how to serve their guests? The Torah says, after it says Vayar, and Avram Avinu sees the three people going, and it says Vayartz across them, he goes over to Sarah and he tells her to prepare lechem for these three malachim who were sent by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it says Vayemaher Avram Hoel El Sarah Vayomer Mari Shalosh Se'in Kemach Solis. Now, the pasuk in one breath has both Kemach and solus. What's the difference between the two? Kemach is wheat in a very coarse, I guess you might call it whole wheat. Solus is when you grind it and make it fine, a very fine flour. And the two types of breads, and they taste differently. It's not clear here what bread was meant to be served to the malachim, because the pasuk says kemach solus. So is it kemach or it's solus? So the Gemara of Metzia says the following: Amar Rab Yitzchak, Mikan she'isha tzara einel bi'orchim. She wanted to give a bread that was made of kemach. She wasn't willing to give the more expensive, elaborate bread that requires a great deal of work, and that's called solus. Avraham Avinu said solus. It's got to be menupa umavura. It means you've got to take out all the pieces, sift it, and crush it and grind it until it becomes solus, very fine flour, refined flour. And the very fact that Sarah didn't want to give solus, but rather kemach, according to the Gemara, that proves, and that's Rabbi Yitzchak's proof, that a woman doesn't go all out for orchim. So the Chasam Sofer says that I'm going to give you the real pshat, the inner story here, you know, what went on behind closed doors here between Avram and Sarah, because if you read the Gemara, you're going to come to the wrong impression. You're going to misunderstand what the Gemara is saying about this debate between Avram and Sarah. In truth, Kemach and Solus each respectively represent two different approaches to Avodas Hashem, to how to serve God. And here, if you're following the text, we're going to turn to the second page. The Gemara tells us in the Dorim something very interesting about our approach to Torah study. How should we approach Torah study? What is the emphasis? What is primary? And there are two answers to this question, and they're very radically different one from the other. On the one hand, there's an approach to Torah study that says, you know what? Let's learn the solus of Torah. What does it mean, the solus? Take away all the different, you know, glitches and hurdles and logical pilpulim, you know, to figure out with the Torah. There's going to be solus. Solus means it's just ready to eat. You know, I give it to you on a silver platter. It's like, you know, you teach halacha from a Mishnah Berurah. You know, just read out the halachas. So from any other modern textbook, you know, that has a sikkum, a summary of the halachas. That's solus. That's one way of learning Torah. And we'll soon see the advantage of that. The other way of learning Torah is called pilpul shel Torah, otherwise known as kemach. Kemach means you need a good deal of work until you can finally get rid of all the pieces that shouldn't be eaten, that are mixed in, all the psolas, and work very hard until you refine the kemach and that's called Kemach. And the Chasam Sofer claims that the Gemara Nedarim says that Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had two different approaches about how the Torah should be given to Klal Yisrael. And the language of the Gemara, which you'll see here on the top of your page 2, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan es koach ha-pilpul b'tarak le-Moshe le-Zaro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not interested in giving the pilpul of Torah, the analytic, didactic Derech HaLimud, and David, you'll appreciate that, right? To Klal Yisrael. No, Klal Yisrael was going to get the soles of Torah. You know, give me the bottom line. You know, like sometimes, you know, your wife may ask you, tell me what's the din in this case. And you start going like this and like that. Could it be this? Could it be that? And she says to me, don't give me any pilpul. Just give me the bottom line. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch wanted to give to Klal Yisrael. But there is such a thing called Pilpul Shel Torah that he reserved exclusively for Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu Nohag Ayin Tova V'Nasno Yisrael. Even though Moshe had exclusive possession over the Pilpul Shel Torah, he decided to be very magnanimous about it and share it with Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says that there's a pasuk in Mishle that specifically has Moshe Rabbeinu in mind. It says, Tov Ayin Hu Yevurach. A Tov Ayin is someone who has something precious and he shares it with others. That's a great midah. Hu Yevurach. He will be blessed. And the Chasam Sofer says the following, that when these malachim came to eat at the table of Avram and Sarah, there were two approaches in the symbolic message of the type of bread that was going to be given, and symbolically, the Kemach bread, as opposed to the Soles bread, each respectively represent two different approaches to how to accept the Torah of Hashem, and how to go ahead and serve God. One is to understand that Kemach is the way of working very hard. Soles is give me the bottom line after it's already been churned out. And in fact, Avraham Avinu thought that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give Pilpul Shel Torah except to whom? To Moshe Rabbeinu, but not to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Avraham Avinu came to the conclusion, I'm on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side, I'm going to give the malachim solace. I'm going to give them refined, you know, simple answer, you know, as I said, clear cut, bottom line, halacha psuka, as we call it. However, Sarah had a different approach. She felt that the real ideal of Torah study is that which was given specifically to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's called kemach. That's called not halacha brura, which is already menupe, it's already been removed, you know, it's been refined 13 times, and it's now fine flour. No, I want to give kemach. Kemach is the ikar. Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he got a special gift of Pilpul Shel Torah, with all the gear and all the work that's involved, and he decided, b'ayin tova, to share it with Klal Yisrael. So if you take a look here in the Chasam Sofer, which is on your right column, It's the fourth column down. It starts with the word omnum. Mm-hmm. The Chasam Sofer says the following. He says, on the one hand, it would seem to be a better choice to give the Torah the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah. Don't give them pilpul. Just give them halacha brura. Just give them solace. Why? So the Chasam Sofer has a very strong language here. He says, pilpul has a real danger to it. That's the word I want to use. What's the danger of pilpul? Well, when you're involved in pilpul, you suggest a svara, some sort of logical analysis, but you know what? There's going to be an admixture here of sheker, chas v'shalom. You won't know. You know, when you're sifting through it, you have this kemach, and there are all sorts of impurities, and you're using your human logic and your intellect to try to clarify, it's almost inevitable that you're going to make a few mistakes along the way. You know, human beings are fallible. They're not perfect. And therefore, Avraham Avinu, he thought, let's give these malachim solace. Sarah, however, according to Chazal, is even greater than Avraham Avinu in Nevuah, right? Kol Asher Tishma B'Kol. And therefore she came up with a more profound idea, and she said, you know what? There's something called Kemach. There's something called Pilpula Shel Torah. Says the Chasam Sofer, she advocated in favor of the Derech HaSvara, the logical way of analyzing analytically the Torah, and this despite the danger that within the context of and the endeavor of Pilpul Shel Torah, you might make some mistakes along the line. And therefore she said, let's give Kemach to the Orachim. And we're going to teach them that they have to create the Solus Nekiya. It's not that her Tzaras Ayin was because she didn't fargin, you know, something more expensive like Solus. But her Tzaras Ayin was to say that sometimes when you deal with Torah, you hold back a little bit. And that's the way that Sarah feels you should serve Hashem. Hold back a little bit. Don't give the final, you know, the final package in its refined form. And it's very interesting that Shlomo dedicates an entire chapter to Sarah Imenu. And that's the chapter that we recite every Friday night if you have that minog. Mm-hmm. Of Eishes Chayil Miyimtza, and in that chapter of Mishle, it says Sophia Halichos Besa, and that refers to Sarah Imenu. Shehoisa Tzofa Umavit Tov Yosel Lamid Lem Halichos. The Chasam Sofer says that Sophia means that she understood something below the surface. She penetrated to the understanding that was concealed and not the superficial revealed surface, that man in his challenge of studying God's wisdom and his Torah, Yelech mi madrega l'madrega, he will slowly go from one level to the other. And therefore the Pasuk says in Eishes Chayil about Sarah Imenu, Lechem atzlus lo sochel. So let's think of this Friday night, Amir Tzashem, that Sarah is not in favor of atzlus, of laziness. There is such a thing called Lechem atzlut. What's Lechem atzlut? That represents the solace, which is given on, you know, on a silver platter or a silver spoon to a person and says, you know, here's the Torah. I'll give you the bottom line. You know, you open up Haggadah Shel Pesach, it tells you where to pick up the cup and where to cover the matzah, and that's it. You know, that's called Halacha Brura. No. She said that's Lechem Atzlus. You have to get Kemach and make it into solace. You have to work very hard. In other words, the debate now between HaKadosh Baruch and Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of Matan Torah is really the same identical debate as that between Avraham Avinu and Sarah. Avraham Avinu goes in the sheet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The best ideal way of studying Torah and teaching Torah is called Halacha Brura, the Solas Nekiya. And Sarah, on the other hand, goes with the sheet of Moshe Rabbeinu, that I'm going to give to Klal Yisrael the Koach HaPilpul, because I think they should work hard to take this Kemach transform it into Solas. They have to be Mavar the Halacha, they have to be Mefalpil the Halacha, and then they'll arrive at what we call Amita Shel Torah.
Is it a mashal that Chumash has a story about the meal served to the Malachim? Is that a mashal for Torah study? We're talking about serving the food.
Right. But Chazal always see in food, different kinds of food, a symbolic representation of Torah. You usually, for example, mayim, dvash, those kinds of things, but sometimes it's lechem. You'll hear the phrase lachma shel Torah, the bread of the Torah. Torah satiates a person, sustains a person. Al lechem levado yichyeh adam. That's Torah. Torah gives a person sustenance. But there are two ways of getting that sustenance. There's one way called the kemach bread, and there's another way called the solas bread. Avraham Avinu is the advocate of solas bread, which symbolically represents the Torah that's already halacha brura. It's been chewed up and refined over and over again. Just take it and learn it, and that's it. There's no possibility of making any errors over here. It's crystal clear. And Sara Imenu advocates in favor of Pilpul Shel Torah, which is called a bread of Kemach, where we have to work very hard to transform the Kemach into solace. Now, if this is correct, if the Ksav Sofer is right, that there was a controversy between Sarah and Avraham Avinu, how do we read the Pasuk? Let's go back to the Pasuk. It says in Bereishis Yudches, Vayemaher Avraham Ohel El Sarah, Vayomer, Mari, go quickly, prepare three sa'in, that's a volume, of Kemach Solas. What's going on over here? It was Sarah who advocated in favor of Kemach. It was Avram who advocated in favor of Solas, and they were really at each other. You know, there was a basic fundamental controversy. And when we read the Pasuk, it says that Avram told Sarah to offer them Kemach Solas. So now we have to approach this from the perspective of the famous statement of the Gemara in Erevin, Elu v'elu divlekim chayim. Avraham Avinu made what we call a hachra. Hachra means a compromise. And he decided that, you know what? Sarah's approach is correct. My approach is correct. There's the Kemach approach to Torah. There's the Solas approach to Torah. And the truth is, Elu v'elu divlekim chayim. Like, for example, the Gemara says in Masechta Kiddushin, Avu b'no, a father sits down to study Torah with his son, a Rav v'talmido, a Rebbe sits down to study Torah with his Talmud, v'oskim b'torah, nasim oivim zelazeh. Initially, they yell at each other, they throw shtenders at each other, they raise their voice, you're wrong, I'm right, and each one tries to... But enu zazim isham ad shenasim oivim zelazeh. At the end of the day, the Torah becomes that much greater because of this debate, and each side, teacher or student gains something and gives something, and the end product is an admixture. It's a compromise. It's an integration of both elu v'elu, of both approaches. So Avraham Avinu made a decision, and he said, you know what? Sarah, we're going to go with your way, but I'm going to go with my way. We're going to go with both ways. We're going to take the Kemach, and we're going to take the Solas, and we're going to integrate the two. And the Lechem, which is going to be made up of Kemach, Keshita Sarah, is going to be a symbolic representation of the idea of Amelus B'Torah, of Kemach, meaning work very hard. The second Lechem, and again, keep in mind, the key number is 2, because we want to get eventually to understand the Shnei Lechem of Shavuos. That's going to be the Lechem of Solas, where leave out the pilpul, just give me the final psak halach, and give me what we call Shmaitita Aliba the Hilchasa. Leave out all the pilpul. And these are going to be two valid approaches, and therefore, when we're sitting at the table of where the malachim are going to partake, and we're going to transmit to them and present to them the derech, the approach and the attitude towards the hashkafas limud haTorah, we're going to have to give them both lechamim. We're going to have to give them one lechem, which is called kemach, and another lechem, which is called solas. The kemach is the pilpul d'oraisa, and the solas is the halilchas haliba, shmaita haliba the hilchasa. And it's interesting, if you take the gematria, for this I need a calculator, of kemach solas, it's the exact equivalent of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the reason is because the Kemach Solas combination, right, the integration, the compromise of the two, that synthesis has to be passed on through all the generations. It's not just Avram, it's going to be passed on to Yitzchak and to Yaakov and to all of Klal Yisrael, Ad Olam, for all the ancestors, all the descendants forever. And it's interesting, the Mishnah says in Avos, in the third Perkim, Ein Kemach, Ein Torah. Which means that Chazal are telling us it's not enough to have solas. You need Kemach to get Torah. Kemach means you got to work it all out. You have to really shvitz and harva and be mefalpa with all the dialectics of Torah study until you dig deep below the surface, and then finally you'll understand the Torah. And that means that it's not enough to start with a solas kind of bread that's mukhan and mezuman, ready to be eaten. No, we need him ein kemach, ein Torah. We need the amelus and the agia. And therefore, the Gemara says in Brachos, minayin shein divrei Torah miskaimel b'misha memis atzmo aleha. Just like the Torah says, zos chukas haTorah adam kiyomis ba'oel. We got to work hard. We have to mamash kill ourselves to try to understand the Torah. Rabbi Akiva started at the age of 40, according to Chazal, and he became the giant that he was. Now, if we're going to take this line of reasoning, let's take a look at another Chassam Sofer, which is on the bottom left of your page 2. And he says the following. He says, on one hand, it seems that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's approach is really the best approach. Don't give them pilpul, just give them halacha brura as is. Why? Says the Chassam Sofer, you remember this language that we saw earlier, kidei shelo yis'ariv bo sheker chas v'sholom al yidei svaros enoshios, meaning man is enoshi, he's human and he's fallible, he's flesh and blood, he's going to come up with svaros that are not accurate, they're not correct, and that's sheker. There's going to be a tarovus, a mixture of sheker here. Now, in the light of the Chassam Sofer, we have a real problem here, because at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu decided, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the okay, to take the Koach HaPilpul in Torah and give it over to Klal Yisrael, meaning that they should harva, and they should work hard, and they should transform Kemach into Solas. But why? After all, O Yisariv Badover Sheker Chas V'Sholom. So here he answers this question in a very profound way on page 3, and he says the following. David HaMelech in Tehillim in Pei Hei says, Emes mi eretz titzmach. What is the analogy here, the metaphor for truth? Eretz, the ground, right? The soil that's producing its vegetation. What's going on here? What is Emes? So he says that the mashal of Eretz Titzmach is that when a person comes to his land, a farmer, and he wants to produce, he's got to first plant, he's got to get rid of different parts of the weeds and the rocks and the stones, he's got to be mesalek, what's called the kotzim and the chochim, all these things that would strangle the growth. There's a lot of work that goes in to prepare the eretz, to prepare the adam, or the ground, for tzemach tov, for being matzmiah, something that's healthy and roi l'achila, and it's edible. And now we get to the nimshal. The message here of David HaMelech, Eretz, Emes mi Eretz Titzmach, is that so too, with regard to understanding the Emes, it's Eretz Titzmach. Only if a person works hard, first of all, he's got to be choker v'doresh, he's got to investigate different possibilities, entertain and weigh one possibility this way, one possibility that way, and then if he now meets a long process, and on the way, he's going to definitely meet up with certain, you know, kotzim and chokim, certain svaras that are not correct. But ultimately, at the end of the tunnel, the light shines and he's going to see the Nekudas Emes. And that's what Yeshayo HaNavi means when he says, as the Gemara interprets it in Gittin, Va'michshola hazos tachas yodecha. Michshola means when you fall, when you trip and fall. Says the Gemara, what did Shlomo Melch have? What did Yeshayo HaNavi have in mind? Ein adam omed al divrei Torah elim kein michshal b'hem. He's going to trip, he's going to fall. He's going to say some kruma svaras on the way. And then he'll finally come up with the emes. Emes me eretz titzmach. Just like eretz, we need a whole bit of work. A lot of birur. We're going to come in contact and encounter many kotzim and so forth that have to be removed. So too, when a person studies Torah v'yigia with tremendous work, he's going to encounter certain svaros, think initially, wow, that's attractive, until he realizes, no, that's not a true svaro. And after this whole long process of yediyah, finally he gets to the light at the end of the tunnel, which is the MS, and he's gone through a process of Eretz Titzmach. And that's going to be a much more profound way of studying the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu understands that he has the Koach HaPilpul, and he is going to be very magnanimous and share it with Klal Yisrael, so they too could study the Torah and be mevarer the Torah, clarify it and dialectically understand it, be amelus with Yigiyas HaTorah, until finally they achieve emes. The emes will come to light at the end, and it's impossible without finding certain, you know, difficulties on the way. But nevertheless, it's all part of the study of Torah. Even when they encounter svaras and they think they're attractive and entertain those svaras, even that's part of the process of studying Torah. And that too is part of Yigiyas HaTorah. And therefore the Gemara says in Megillah, if a person says Yagati v'lo matzasi, don't believe. If he says lo Yagati matzasi, don't believe him. Only if he claims Yagati, I worked very hard, umatzasi, and I reveal the truth, then believe him. And now the Drushas Ksam Sofer is unbelievable. He says, based on the Zohar, this is in the middle column on page 3, that the Chalukah Derabbanan, which means the garment that the Talmud Chacham wears, and this word garment is a mystical concept, which I can't explain to you, which the Zohar identifies as what's called Ar Makif. And basically, according to the Zohar, there are two parts to the human being. And in the case of Torah study, there are two dimensions of Torah study. There's Torah, which is Amita Shel Torah, which is pure truth, and that unifies with the neshama of a person, mamish. And then there's something called an ar makif. That's not something that penetrates and unites with the neshama, but rather it's like a garment that surrounds the person on the outside. And the Zohar identifies that element, that dimension of study Torah, which is our makif, as pilpula shel Torah. Those aspects of Torah which require so much pilpul until finally you get to the emes. When you get to the emes, then it penetrates into the neshama. But all the process along the way, the thought process, is also meaningful, and it generates the ar makif, the chalukah derabbanan. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech means in Shir HaShirim when he says v'reach samanosayich kireach levanon, that the smell of your simla is a garment, is a beautiful smell like reach levanon. And this is a description of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because the Zohar says that through Yegiyas HaTorah and Pilpul Dorais, so you achieve Kaparas HaAvonos, all the work and sweat that you put in order to understand the Torah, remove all the tzolas, that's Mechaper HaAvonos, like the Beis HaMikdash. So we learn from the Ksam Sofer something unbelievable, that when a person studies Torah, the limud, which is Amita Shel Torah, that he caught the final emes and truth that he arrives at the end of the process, that's called a or hamis achid im haneshama. That's the light of truth that penetrates and becomes one with his neshama. But there's also something called pilpul, and that's not necessarily the Amita Shel Torah. You're in a process at the end of which you'll get to Amita Shel Torah. That will not penetrate as an R that goes into his neshama and identifies, unifies with his neshama. That's called an R makif. But it's very important. A person has to have more than just a physical body. He has to have also a simla, he has to have a chalok, he has to have clothing that guard his body and that surround his body. That's called pilpul shel Torah. And after the Ksam Sofer quotes this Zohar, this very mystical, deep Zohar, he adds the following. He says, Hayigia rava bipulpula doraisa mechaper avonos. And he says that kaparas avonos is even greater than bringing a karma as far as kaparas is concerned. And the reason why the Zohar compares Reach Salmonosayich to Reach Levanon, to that of the Beis HaMikdash, is to tell you that the Reach of Pilpul Shel Torah, which becomes an Ar Makif that surrounds him, is superior and supersedes that of the Reach Levanon of the Beis HaMikdash. There's even a greater power of Kapar Savonos in Pilpul Shel Torah than there is in bringing a karmah. You know, we're learning a lot of kodshim these days, so this is a very interesting idea that there's something even greater than kodshim. Imagine if we combine the two, and we say that when we study kodshim, it's as if, you know, neshama parim, it's as if we're bringing a karma, and we get a kapara then. But on top of that, we are doing pilpul doraisa, trying to understand kodshim, and we're sweating it out, and we're trying to be mavarit until we get to the MS. That's an even greater kapara than bringing a karma. If that be the case, we understand very well why Moshe Rabbeinu insisted in sharing the Koach HaPilpul, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, with Klal Yisrael. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch maybe was a little bit reserved about it, and he was hesitant to impose Pilpula Shel Torah on Klal Yisrael, because the amount of work and toil and the process which could lead you Chas V'Shalom to Svaras Shel Hevel and Sheker. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want the Torah to be part of a long, tedious process of Yigiyah, so that man will create this Or HaMakif for the Neshama, that's going to protect the Neshama. The Torah therefore becomes much more profound. Ultimately, after all this work and finally getting to the truth, the Torah has now a profound impact on the person, and that's the greatest ideal level of the study of Torah.
Isn't the idea of searching through Pilpul for the Emes antithetical to the idea of Elu are a valid means of approaching Hashem?
Well, I discussed that, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, that even when you say something that might not be correct, like Chazal speak about being Metayra Sheretz, there was a Kal V'chomer that a Sheretz could certainly be Tahar, and the Torah says that a Sheretz is Metame, but if you analyze the Kal V'chomer, you'll understand how the lot. Now, why do we study such a Kal V'chomer? It's not Emes. So Elu V'Elu tells me that the truth itself is made up of many different dimensions. We once compared it to a prism. If you look in prism, you'll see lights. Each of those lights are real. And together, you know, you have Beisil Beit Shama, you have Abayin Rava. Together, when we finally churn out the halacha, we find out retroactively that every single argument and every single approach does represent a dimension of truth. There are Kuf Nun, there are 150 dimensions of Tumah, there are 150 dimensions of Tara, and Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. But the point of this particular presentation is that Pilpula Shel Torah, to really work hard and try to analyze, and then suggest certain svaras and reject them, like the Chazal say, I think it's Shimon Hamsuni Omer, that Kishem Shani Akabel Schar Al Adrisha, Kachadi Akabel Schar Al Aprisha, that even if I reject a certain svara, I'll still get schar for the Limud Torah when I suggested that svara and analyzed it and put it under the microscope in order to dissect it.
Right, yeah.
Well, if this be the case, then let's begin to understand this symbolism of Har Kegiges. Why was that the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would compel Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh? And the answer is, according to some sofer, that the kfiyah, the compelling Har Kegiges, is really a reference to this concept called an Or Makif. And there's a great book by the Ramah Mipanua, right? His name was Katzenelenburg, and he came from a certain place in Italy about 2.5-3 centuries ago. He wrote a book called the Yonas Elem, and in the 8th chapter he writes, Masha Kodesh Baruch Hu Kofa al Yisrael Zahar Kegiges Hu Bebchinas Or Makif. There's not, you know, we get all nervous and negative, you know, we're fighting. What's this Har Kegiges? It seems so antithetical. You know, we live in a world of democracy. What's this Har Kegiges business? You know, it really throws us off. Comes along the Onus Elam, and he says that when the Chazal spoke about Har Kegiges, they were talking about a symbolic concept of infinity, of something that's eternal, that is called the Or Makif. And what is the dogma, this image of a Har Kegiges, is really a way of conveying this Or Makif. Now, according to some sofer, based on the Zohar, if you recall, the Or Makif is the Pilpula Shel Torah that requires a great deal of Hamelus and Yigia. The people of Israel were not ready for Pilpula Shel Torah. In fact, they shied away. They want the Torah Shebitzav, you know, tell me do not steal, and I'll make sense out of that, and I'll live with that. But don't give me all the pilpulim, and don't force me to be Amel V'Yigia. That's too much for me. So in a sense, they need to be compelled on Torah Shebaal Peh with the Har Kegiges of the Or Makif, because the Or Makif now represents the Yigia and the Pilpul of Torah. They would rather accept halacha brura. That's the easy way out. Just go to a shir in Mishnah brura and just open up. You know, the they have now sikumim. You know, halachic compendiums, which in English even you can get it. They summarize in one little booklet. You know, a whole masechta. Why not? Why learn the masechta? Why not just open up that book? And that would be halacha brura. And that would be an easy way out. That would be what's called Torah as solace. Oh no. We need the Armakif. And the Armakif is going to mean that at the end of the tunnel, when we get to the truth, it's going to be more profound, it's going to penetrate and identify with our neshama. And that's going to be the Kaf Aleihem HaKagigis of the Pilpa and the Amelus and the Igiyah of Torah Shebaal Peh. And for that we need to compel them, because they wanted Solus Nekiya. They weren't willing to commit themselves voluntarily to Lechem. They wanted Solus. The bread that they wanted would be the bread of Solus. Most people, by the way, I think, eat bread of Solus today. Right?
You think, yeah.
The health nuts, I think, eat Lechem of Kemah. You know, where you have to bite into it. It's bran, it's whole wheat, it's whole bran. So they have this thing called seven grains, you know, you can break your teeth on it. But who wants to eat that stuff? Only the health conscious people. But that's really, ultimately, the greatest level of Torah study.
The most beneficial to your health.
The most beneficial to your health, both physically and in the symbolic realm, symbolically, spiritually as well. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kaf Aleihem HaKagigis, that's the image of the Armakiv, and Hashem was transmitting to them a message, a subliminal message, that through Amelus and Yigiyah B'Torah Shebaal Peh, that's how you're going to come to Amita Shel Torah, and that's how the Armakif is going to protect the body, so that eventually the body is healthy on its highest level. Yogati Umatsasi Tamin. Moshe Rabbeinu decides to give the Derech HaPilpul over to Klal Yisrael. And how do we see this? At what point in time did Moshe Rabbeinu actually do this? So the answer is, and here you want to look on page 4, there's something called the 3 days of Hagbolah. You remember that? Right before the giving of the Torah, the people of Israel had to prepare themselves for 3 days. So the Gemara in Nedarim actually tells us that the story is much more complicated than meets the eye. And in truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking for 2 days of Hagbolah, of preparation for Matan Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu Midaito, he made his own decision to add another day. That the people of Israel should prepare themselves with Kedusha and Prishus, that means they separated from their wives, not for 2 days, but for 3 days before Kabbalah HaTorah. What's this all about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says 2 days is enough, and Moshe wants a third day. And Moshe prevails. So the son of the Chasam Sofer, now we're going over to the next generation, it's called the Chasam Sofer, presents the following thesis. He says the following: HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Koach HaPilpul, that dimension of Torah study, only exclusively to Moshe Rabbeinu, not to Klal Yisrael. For Klal Yisrael to receive only solas, meaning the halacha brura that we spoke about before, that's chewed up and refined, all they needed to prepare for was 2 days. That would be sufficient. So again, to prepare for halacha brura kind of endeavor and enterprise of Torah study, you'd only need 2 days of preparation. Moshe Rabbeinu, however, needed for himself another day, because he was going to receive the Kemach of Torah. He was going to receive the Pilpula Shel Torah. And for that, you have to really prepare yourself very well so that you can get to that level where you will accept upon yourself that commitment to Amelus and Yigiyah Pilpul B'Torah. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to separate the people from their wives in preparation for Kabbalah Torah 2 days. That's all they needed. Moshe Rabbeinu was knowing Ayin Tova, Tova's Ayin, and he wanted to give and have the people of Israel accept Pilpula Toraisa, Pilpula Shel Torah. Now, if Klal Yisrael will receive this gift, they need a third day of preparation. Moshe Rabbeinu needs the third day because he was granted by Hashem the Pilpula Doraisa. Why do the people need that? They weren't given Pilpula Doraisa. The answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu decided to take his portion of Pilpul Doraisa and share it with Klal Yisrael. That was his Tovas Ayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him. So Moshe Rabbeinu got up and he decided, I'm going to add a third day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the, you know, the okay, the green light. And that third day of what we call Kiddusha and Precious, which is the third day of Hagbalah, really represents the moment in time when Moshe Rabbeinu handed over Pilpula Doraisa, which he was the exclusive possessor of, and he shared the possession of Pilpula Doraisa with Klal Yisrael. And if this be the case, then, and Moshe Rabbeinu added another day, Midaito, the Pasuk says that on the fourth day, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Lech el ha'am v'kidashtem hayom u'machar, sanctify yourselves today one day and machar a second day, and then v'yu nechonim v'yom ha'shlishi, and they'll be ready on the third day to receive the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, v'kidashtem hayom u'machar, wait a second, hayom is not the same as machar, because hayom, we're already halfway through the day. Machar is 24 hours, but today is only 12 hours, right? Because the day includes the day and the night, which is 24 hours. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what? We have to make up that the lack of a full 2 days by adding a full third day, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to this. So Tosfos asks the following. Why does the Gemara tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu added the third day Midaito? This is not Midaito. He's using the klolim, the rules and regulations that apply to darshan the Torah and interpret the Torah. That's not called Midaito. If the Torah says you need 2 days of preparation, Moshe Rabbeinu calculates that they would not get 2 days of preparation unless you tag on the third day. But perhaps in the light of the Ksav Sofer's Chiddush, we can answer up Tosis's question. The logical analysis by which Moshe Rabbeinu, applying that analysis, arrived at the conclusion that we have to add a third day, was not something that was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's own intellectual dissection of the law, his understanding of the law. That's called Pilpula Doraisa. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu had to give over the Koch HaPilpul Doraisa to Klal Yisrael, and therefore he said that we have to add a third day, meaning I'm going to use my Pilpul, my Koch HaPilpul, to analyze, and I'm going to give you now a third day. So what was Tosfos' kasha? Why is this called Midaito? After all, he's using the logic. Yeah, he's using the logic, but that logic was Moshe Rabbeinu's logic. And that's called Moshe Rabbeinu Midaito, applying his Pilpul Shel Torah. And that's Midaito. And then he gives the third day, meaning the Pilpul Shel Torah, over to Klal Yisrael. That's the Tovas Ayin of Moshe Rabbeinu to transmit the Koach HaPilpul to Klal Yisrael. And he's going to learn this analysis about Yom HaMachar to come up with the conclusion that you have to add a third day. That's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu's own analytic Pilpul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to accept this. And when Klal Yisrael take Moshe Rabbeinu's pilpul, namely the third day, and they accept it, they have accepted and received this great gift called Pilpula Shel Torah. And if this be the case, we understand that in the case of Nasa v'Nishma, where Klal Yisrael initially accepted the Torah only, says Tosfos, with regard to Torah Shebichtav, not Torah Shebalpeh, on the day of Matan Torah, which was the fourth day after 3 days of preparation, Moshe Rabbeinu had added a third day, Midaito. We wanted to hand over to Klal Yisrael the Pilpul Shel Torah, which is Torah Shebal Peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is Kaf Aleim HaKigigis. Why? Because they are given, after the third day, they're being given also Torah Shebal Peh, the Koch HaPilpul. They were very inhibited about that. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch had to be Kaf Aleim HaKigigis, which we said symbolizes the Ora Makif, which is created by the analysis and the svaras and the Pilpul Shel Torah. And if this be the case, now let's get back to our original question about the Shtei Alechem. Why is the Shtei Alechem so significant? And why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to the Malachim, how could you be Pogad Moshe Rabbeinu, who's coming to receive the Torah? After all, you ate at his table the Lechem, the Kemach Solis. And here we have a beautiful answer. When Avraham Avinu serves the Malachim Kemach Soles, what he's telling the Malachim symbolically is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be Oseik, to dedicate ourselves to two dimensions of Torah study, to Kemach and to Soles. And that ultimately in main Kemach and Torah, there's no easy way out over here. There's no zbang, you know, that you take the halacha brura and just read it and like a parrot. But rather there has to be kemach. And you cannot reach the MS without the kemach. Without the chakiros, without the pilpulim, without the hisamkus b'torah, that's kemach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us on Shavuos to prepare shtei lechem. And these shtei lechem represent the two dimensions of Torah study. There's one lechem that represents the kemach method, and the other the soles method. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us that limud Torah should be not only bechinas soles, if there would have been one lechem, but also bechinas kemach. Kemach needs a lot of work to get rid of all the impurities and refine it, remove the pebbles and so forth and so on. And at the end of the day, it's impossible to really be choker the emes without derech apilpul, and you come up with sfeikus, and you doubt, and you vacillate back and forth. But nevertheless, through this kemach, the Torah of kemach, you'll eventually arrive at the soles nekiya of Torah. And the very process of studying Torah b'kemach with pilpul is part and parcel of the hisaskus b'Torah. The Malachi Ashos, when they see Moshe Rabbeinu coming up for the Torah, they get very upset. And they want to be poged Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is it? Because when they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving the Koach HaPilpul of Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and only to Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the initial gift that was exclusive of Moshe Rabbeinu. They understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give the Torah of Halacha Brura to Klal Yisrael, without any Sveikas and Pilpulim. And therefore they came with a taina to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, you decided on your own that you want to give the Pilpula Shel Torah, that it's Roy Lasseis, the Torah of Kemach. Oh no. When they saw that, the Malachim said, you know what? We have to take the Torah away. We have to do everything in our power to make sure that Moshe Rabbeinu will not succeed in his program to give to Klal Yisrael the Pilpula Shel Torah. And when they saw, they witnessed what Moshe Rabbeinu was about to do to receive the Pilpula Shel Torah B'Tovas Ayin, to share that and transmit that to Klal Yisrael in order to apply the method of Amelus B'Torah, of Pilpul Shel Torah, to come to Emes, they were big shul of Gabo. They thought that this is a very grave error. This is violating the will of God, that the people of Israel should be Oseik B'Torah with pilpul. No, they should be given only exclusively halacha brura, the final word, the simple, refined, soles Torah. Ah, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I am going to teach the malachim a lesson. I'm going to convert the face, the countenance of Moshe Rabbeinu, make it look like that of Avraham Avinu. And understand that Avraham Avinu, he also thought yet like you malachim. He initially was of the opinion against Sarah that the kemach should be not kemach, but should be solace. But at the end of the day, what did Avraham Avinu serve the Archim? He served them both kemach and solace. Iatem is baishim emenu, lo zeu shiaradetem etzlo v'chaltem etof beso. Don't you realize that at the very moment that you visited Avraham Avinu on the third day after his milah, and I sent you there to eat at Moshe at Avraham Avinu's table, I wanted you to learn a lesson. Avraham Avinu is going to teach you that Torah study has to be an integration of Kemach and Solas, that both, Elu v'Elu, have to be part of the system of Limud Torah. And therefore, aren't you embarrassed now when you attack Moshe Rabbeinu, thinking, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu is making a great grave error. I already taught you at the time that you ate at his table that this is not a great avera and a toz, but on the contrary, a person should be given both lechamim, both of these breads, both the solus bread and the kemach bread. And the problem with the malachim is that the malachim are called omdim. This is a famous pasuk at the end of Tanakh. in Zecharia Novi, it's the next last paragraph on page 4. V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'om dima'el. A man is called a mahalech, and the malachim are called omdim. Man is on the move. Right, like it says at the beginning of Parshas Buchukosai, Rashi says, Shetiyu ha'melim v'torah. And how does Rashi know that? Because it says, in Buchukosai, Teilechu. Teilechu means ha'melus v'torah. Mahalchim, not the way that the malachim are omdim, you know, that everything is shlemus, everything is already perfect, it's given to them as a complete package, simple, clear, without any need for any further refinement. No. It's got to be ba'melus b'torah, it's got to be mahalchim, meaning climb the ladder, work hard until you achieve perfection. There's no simplicity here, there's complexity. You know, everything is based on what I call a Hegelian dialectic, which means, you know, there's thesis and antithesis, and you try to work it out. And therefore, since the malachim are always omdim, that's the madrega of the malachim, therefore they think that man like them should be given the soles Torah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, learn from Avram Avinu that there should be both soles and kemach the Torah. There should be not only omdim and get the halacha brura simple and refined, but also mahalchim. Mahalchim means to work and toil, to climb the ladder through amelus and yigia. And as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Torah Hashem tmima, meshivus nefesh, edus Hashem nemonim achimus pesi. What is considered beautiful for Kabbalah Satorah, it's going to be Amelus b'Torah, imbechukosei teilechu, shiyu amelim b'Torah, and through this amelus, finally they'll climb, they'll work, they'll ascend the mountain. Achi agiu lecheker haemes lamita shel Torah. May it be His will that we dedicate ourselves to amelus b'Torah on each person on his own level until we can achieve amita shel Torah, ken yiratzon. Amen. That's going to be our avodah, our challenge, yeah, to receive it now, and especially on Chag HaShavuos, Zman Matan Torah Seinu. So just to summarize, we've answered up all our questions. The concept of Har Kigigas is the Armakiv, because it represents the Pilpula Shel Torah Torah Shebal Peh. We understand why the Malachim thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was making a grave error by giving to the people of Israel the Pilpul Shel Torah, which is full of mistakes and its complexities. We understand why Sarah and Avram had two opinions as to what to serve the Malachim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that Avram would be very wise and integrate both shitas of Kemach and Soles. We understand therefore why on Chag HaShavuos it's so critical to take the Shtei Lechem, because the Shtei Lechem symbolically represent the Shleimus HaTorah, the perfection, these two Lechomim, the Lechem of Kemach and the Lechem of Soles.